Blog Talk Radio.
You know what's all about the power!
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the FTW Future Focus. I am your host, the Mastermind by Dodgers. With me, I have my co-host, he's in Indianapolis, Indiana. He is a big wrestling fan. He really loves wrestling. He is the president of MWG. I can't even talk right now because I happened this afternoon. Tony Motown Allen, Tony, what's up, bro?
I'm doing good, Bobby. How you feeling?
I'm going to talk about that in a second before we really get started here.
All right, cool.
I'll let you know what's going on, too. In addition, I have my other co-hosts. He's down there in Bloomington, and I keep forgetting. God, I'm having a terrible day today.
That's all right, Bobby.
That's a not so humble host, not so humble correspondent, Robert Black. Robert, what's up, bro?
Hey, Bobby. It's all right. It's been a rough week, but it's good to be back on the Future Focus.
Yeah. Let me just go into my part, and then we're going to go into AEW Revolution. I'm kind of lost for words right now because anybody that's on the Indiana Independence, remember a gentleman, his name was Superstar TJ Powers. Superstar TJ Powers is one of the veterans, been on WCW. He's been all over this place wrestling, doing his thing. He's a guy that brought me into the business. He actually got me my start. And, yeah, if you don't like me, then you can blame him for everything. But today his wife, we had a reception because his wife passed. And there's a lot of things that people don't realize when it comes to this wrestling business. When you get into this business, you meet people and you become family with some of them. Some are family that will irritate the heck out of you that you don't want to talk to them for another 3 weeks, but you still see them anyway. You give them a hug. Other ones are close. Other ones are right there. You talk to them every week, sometimes every day. You share your actual personal life with that person. TJ is one of those with me. TJ and I, we talk. He's been on my FTW shows. He will always be on my FTW shows. He's a veteran that I respect because he didn't play games with me. He didn't BS me, but he told me right. And I have nothing but respect for him because he wanted to see me grow. But the thing that we don't look at a lot when it comes to wrestling is his wife, is the girlfriends, is the people that's at home. TJ's wife was awesome lady. We used to have a joke whenever I host shows. She's like, "Now I'm coming there to work, but what you gonna pay me?" I was like, "I don't know. What you want?" She was like, "A hot dog and a Coke." We just started cracking up, you know. And she would always bring a smile on everyone's face. You know, She was going through her health problems. We both went through heart issues. We both, you know, she had a couple of other issues, and she loved TJ to death. And since TJ's like my big brother, you know, she cared about me, and her daughters became like my nieces, you know, and we just got close. She was a woman that really, really supported TJ and what he wanted to do. And then not only that, but when you really, when she knew that you were really cool with TJ and really down with TJ, she was down to you, and you were just like, you know, you was one of the buddies, and she's going to take care of you and feed you and make fun of you just like anybody else. Today we laid down a great woman, a very good woman. And to all you ladies or whoever your significant other is, give them a hug. Tell them you love them.
Yeah. Bobby, I worked with when you were working with TJ Powers, I was there alongside with you, and you know, what you're talking about is something that touches all of us in the industry and out of the industry. Whenever we lose people like this, it's really hard, especially if you live your life on the road and your spouse comes with you and becomes just the glue that makes you stick to the industry and to life in general. And you know, there's just, it's been a hard week for the whole world. So, you know, it's just kind of, this kind of moment gives us the ability to step back from all that and to realize that every individual has their own issues and their own sagas going on. And so we got to let our heart go out to TJ Powers and, you know, bless him. And hopefully he and his family will be able to hold it together at this time. But yeah, I knew TJ as well, and he was a great person to have as far as the industry goes. Great veteran and great friend, our hearts go out to him today.
I remember when me and TJ was in the WCW locker room, and that's before I got my boots. I remember.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, "Kid, usually I'd get on people when they're not dressed proper in the ring, but you, that's an exception." And I was like, "Why do you say that?" He said, "They got to kill 40 damn cows to make your boots." I was like, "Oh, you ain't right."
And they were expensive once you finally got them. So I'm sure he realized that was going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because proper ring attire is no joke. You have to be able to furnish that, and it's not cheap. So TJ is a consummate professional. So in order for him to be forgiving about that sort of thing is kind of hilarious. But.
Yeah. Yeah, it was hilarious, man. But his wife was something special. We all have a laugh, and we got close. Especially during the FTW days, we got close. And
yeah,
I just wanted to get that shout out. Just remind everybody, please, whoever your significant other is, I don't care who it is. Please just tell them you appreciate them. Give them a big hug. Let them know that, you know, when you pull my sweaty outfits out of the travel bag and wash them for me while I'm going about the job, you know, that you are appreciated because they go through a lot. And even though she was no exception, she did it with a smile on her face and brought TJ to another light, man. I just can't believe she gone.
Yeah, I know. But it's a reminder to us all that if you got somebody close that you haven't talked to for a while, if you got a friend or family that you're mad at and that you haven't talked to because of it, you know, now's a good time to pick up the phone, get on the email. Skype call them or Zoom them or something, and you know just mend the bridges, especially in times like these when you need people the most. Never burn a bridge unless you're absolutely sure you've got to. Because these things happen to everyone, so you gotta mend the fences whenever you can.
That's true. That's definitely true. So speaking of bridges, tonight is AEW Revolution.
Yes.
Yeah.
Do you think they're gonna burn the bridge, or do you think they're gonna make it the Golden Gate?
Well, I think that there's going to be plenty of chain link tonight. that's basically what I'm looking forward to. That's my number one. That's my number one pick for match of the night tonight. But we'll get there. We'll get there.
Yes, sir.
But tonight. Unlike WrestleMania, looks like a fantastic card. Yeah.
It looks interesting.
Mm.
But there's something that happened. We got to discuss this real quick before we get started.
All right.
Cody Kong, of course, bought ROH.
Yes.
Whatever that is, Ring of Honor. But from what I heard and what I've taken note of is how in God's green earth are they saying Cody literally either turned down a deal with WWE or didn't talk to WWE because he bought Ring of Honor and he's supposed to come back as a Ring of Honor invasion?
Well, see, it looks like I kind of sort of called this one. The jury is still out, so to speak, because I did mention that I thought that Cody and Brandy had found a partner to buy Ring of Honor themselves. But as it turns out, Tony Khan bought Ring of Honor, and now he's going to have two wrestling companies. He's going to be part of the relaunch, and whether Cody is part of it or not, it seems like like what I said with WWE is not going to, like I said, it wasn't going to happen. So part of what I said that turned out to be true. We'll just see whether Cody shows up at the Ring of Honor relaunch.
Now, Tony, let me ask you this question. I'm looking at Ring of Honor. I'm looking at Ring of Honor, as you know, because they was around Chicago a lot, so I'm sure you went to see Ring of Honor. I remember you mentioning going to Ring of Honor.
Yes.
They were more of a wrestling-based company. They were put your work in first, and then you had a few promos here and there, but it was mostly wrestling. do you think what's going on if they do that? Because this is what I'm coming from it, and hey, I'm not perfect. I might be wrong. But it seems like that the wrestling-type gentleman is going to be in the Ring of Honor side and more of the sports entertainment, but Japanese style is going to be AEW. You see what I'm saying? Do you think that You see what I'm saying? He's trying to appease to both sides and trying to get them all under one branch?
I mean, he can really do that right now because you kind of got your direction if you already went with AEW, and you can appease the other fans with Ring of Honor. So he can definitely do that right now. And it's interesting to see what exactly they are going to do with ROH.
Well, from what and again, this is preliminary stuff, but from what I'm getting is...
I mean, yeah,
they're going to have their own show.
That's what it sounds like, yes. Their own show, their own roster, like, it's going to be a separate entity from AEW.
So what I'm thinking is it going to be like, will we see Cody and maybe William Regal or maybe who's the other dude that was with WWE? You know, them three hitting that Ring of Honor, and then you got the Young Bucks and Puka Cole doing.
I'm not sure what other dude you're talking about for ROH, but the name that popped into my head was Samoa Joe.
Yeah, Samoa Joe is one of them, but it was another one. But see, I was looking at Samoa Joe as he wants to wrestle, so he would be the champ. They'll make him champ off top.
Yeah.
He would work with the talent, but he wouldn't be an executive. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. But he got that ROH background and everything. And so, I mean, he's definitely like that credible name with the ROH past, but that credible name to put out there, though. So, yeah, without a doubt.
You've also got Bryan Danielson and Jay
yep.
Lethal and the Briscoes. And there's a whole bunch of other names that could come back into Ring of Honor now that we know it's coming back.
I hope Jay Lethal does go back to ROH because I don't really like how they've been using him in AEW. So definitely sign me up for Jay Lethal back in ROH.
Yeah, I see that. And I think Tony Khan is going to grow the product to where this might be the demise of the Young Bucks and Omega. Because if they bring back ROH, then they got, like you said, Samoa Joe, Daniel Bryan, CM Punk, who used to be at ROH. Who else did you say? The Briscoes, which are the fire tag team. FTR is going to travel over to ROH because that's their style. You know, you got all of this mix up over here. I think that might make it the demise of the Young Bucks and Kenny Omega.
I'm not sure if it's the demise of Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks, but it's a great opportunity right now to be at AEW because AEW realistically has too much talent for what they have. Like, they're on 2 hours on Wednesday. They're on an hour on Fridays. They do a pay-per-view once every 4 months. They have too many wrestlers. So I think this is a good time to, like, okay, even I'm out where, like, you have talent like Jay Lethal. And I don't think they featured FTR the right way or featured them enough, though. But you have talent there that don't get featured enough. If you have two shows, you can really separate the brands and let these guys go, though. Like, let's see what they can really do, though, especially being on separate brands. Even if you do, like, cross pay-per-views and everything, like, you have pay-per-views where, okay, like, it's an AEW pay-per-view where you got Ring of Honor, a couple of Ring of Honor people there, matches, whatever the case may be, though. But, I mean, right now, it's making it a tricky time to be in AEW, though, because with all the releases that WWE does, it got to the point where, like, Ring of Honor can't keep signing, Ring of Honor, AEW can't keep signing people. They don't have the room. They already got this many people, though, so they can't pick up this person. They can't pick up this person. Now the door is wide open. And the person I'm waiting, and there's two names that I'm waiting to, and there's two names I'm waiting to see how it falls with them, because there's two free agents that, as far as I know, haven't been picked up anywhere, hasn't been anywhere. That's Braun Strowman and Bray Wyatt.
Well, here's how I think this is going to work out structurally. You are right, Bobby, that Ring and Tony, that Ring of Honor is a different tone, like stylistically, than what AEW is. I wouldn't call AEW sports entertainment by a long shot, because right now they are kind of a... They're a contrast of styles with WWE as far as mixing the lucha and Japanese and indie circuit stuff into one mix and putting it on television. That's AEW. Ring of Honor is more of the old school AWA style.
Yeah.
Months and months ago, I compared Ring of Honor to the AWA, and kind of what they brought to the table. It's the meat and potatoes of pro wrestling is what Ring of Honor is, and that's basically what the AWA was. And everybody that has that meat and potatoes flavor, grounded pro wrestling style, that are in AEW right now, as Tony said, is going to go into Ring of Honor. As far as the way it's going to be presented, I think what's going to happen is that a lot of the stuff that happens on Dark and Dark Elevation is going to transfer to ROH, that a lot of the up-and-comers that AEW is grooming are going to be filtered through Ring of Honor to find out their paces and to build them up as stars, and then they're going to bleed over into AEW. And anybody has been talking about the Forbidden Door. Basically, ROH is going to turn the Forbidden Door into an open archway. And the whole co-op is going to be filtered through Ring of Honor. We're talking NWA, we're talking New Japan, AAA, and just in the independent circuit all over the country. All of that's going to filter through Ring of Honor, and Ring of Honor is going to be not AEW, not like a farm system for AEW, but more like a proving ground.
Right.
A kind of on equal ground with AEW, and that's where they're going to have their crossovers after this initial invasion angle that they're going to do eventually.
But my thing is, when you talk about the Ring of Honor crowd, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Let's say this the right way. AEW has a crowd to where it comes to seem ridiculous in some ways, because it's like the true AEW core crowd is like, oh my God, oh, Kenny Omega, he did this, he did this, he did this. And then you have a good number of people that say, well, Kenny Omega's okay, but he shouldn't be, he's not top dog, you know? Do you think with them separating, because Kenny Omega is not going to go over to ROH? He's going to go there, but it's not like he's going to initially go there.
Well,
don't
there's a lot
think,
of...
I'm saying, if enough people look at this ROH and say, wait a minute, that's what wrestling is. Why am I looking at this? Don't you think Kenny Omega and them would be hurt by that? And possibly have been be downgraded even lower right now?
Well, there's a lot of people that look at Kenny Omega and don't get him or don't like him and just don't understand why he, because Kenny Omega is a New Japan guy. That's where he came from. That's the style he uses. And part of the deal with AEW is that guys from that particular point of view or from a particular style of wrestling can get on national television and not have to change everything up like they would have to do for Vince. Because mm-hmm. if Kenny Omega went to WWE, they would completely change him up. And that might be a good thing for him. But the people that initially are Kenny Omega fans now would absolutely hate that, because they want the Terminator thing, and they want they want all the stuff that he does in the ring. I see what you mean with the what Ring of Honor could mean to the style clashes. But, you know, Omega just has his own built-in fan base, and it's hard to see, it's hard to see him not getting over and still being over in AEW.
Look, but this is what I'm looking at. When he was the cleaner with mm-hmm. New Japan, I love him. I love the cleaner. The thing is awesome. This, whatever it is that he is now, I do not like. It is terrible. It is like I feel like he's cheating me, because he's not giving me what he had in New Japan. He's giving me some, I got money now, so I'm just going to lax off. It's like calling LeBron James the GOAT to me. You got Michael Jordan, put his heart, sweat into it, went through all this crap, and dominated. But you're giving a crown to someone that is in a relaxed league, and he does what he is. He's relaxed now. He's not nowhere near what he was with the cleaner. If you brought the cleaner back, I'd probably change my mind. But what he's doing now is just not, it's just, no. Tony, tell me if I'm just wrong, or I got different style taste, or did I not eat a cheeseburger like I was supposed to? I mean, I don't know what to think, man.
You're not wrong. No, I mean, no, his character is definitely not the cleaner from New Japan, and that was like him at his very best. I don't know if it's like if he got lazy or if it's AEW booking though. I mean, it could be like, hey, they don't want him doing that. They see him as this, though. I mean, a lot of people don't go out there that AEW, has some creative control over your character. But, I mean, I think to a certain extent they do, though. And I think what we're seeing from Kenny Omega as a character is what AEW and Tony Khan wants to put out there for TV.
Well, there could be some injury issues, Tony. I think you might have hit on that pretty well, because, that's the whole reason that Omega is not in the ring right now, is that he took time off.
Yeah.
To get and even while he was champion, he was working hurt to some extent. So I think the biggest issue was that he was having like equilibrium issues. So that may be one reason why he changed his style up. But I don't know. When Kenny Omega, it's kind of like with the Young Bucks. When Omega is really on, and when he's in there with somebody who forces him to take everything seriously and that he can't screw around, when he's under that kind of criteria in the ring, he's fantastic. But when he gets in there and he's able to be the way Jim Cornette puts it, when he's in there and being Laurence Olivier, that gets kind of old. But and I see the criticism there. Yeah, I can see that criticism, because when he gets all dramatic and showy and things, and when he's allowed to screw around like the Bucks do when they're allowed to screw around, then it gets cringy. Exactly. It gets cringy. But with Danielson, when we get that Kenny Omega, I love the guy, though.
But look, you're talking about Bryan Danielson. He is the top wrestler in the world, period. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. That man is the top.
If we're talking about a one-on-one basketball game between LeBron James and Michael Jordan, that's what it would look like. Omega versus Danielson. And we got that, and how long did that match go? 30 minutes, an hour?
30 minutes.
It was somewhere around
there. It was a 30-minute Broadway, but that was great stuff. And when Omega is made to work, he works.
Yeah, I can see it. Tony Khan does need to put his foot down a little bit more and get him to work like that. But my thing is, I understand what they said about Big E now, because I started thinking about Kenny Omega. And I guess the way people were saying about Big E, I feel about Kenny Omega. This could screw him up in the future. You know what I'm saying? How can I take him seriously after seeing that? You know, that's where I'm at with him. It's like, how can I really take you seriously after I seen you prancing around like you was a Russian, you know, like a Russian ballerina, you know? I mean,
the wrestling community is very forgiving, though. I mean, look at Drew McIntyre. He was 3MB years ago.
Wait a minute. Wait. I'm going to say this. We understand Drew McIntyre because who's the boss? Vince McMahon. It's known by everybody that no matter how good it is, he's going to go over there, tear up, and tell you to do what he wants you to do. So the Drew McIntyre thing can't be forgiven, because we know who the boss is. Kenny don't have that problem at AEW.
Do we know that for sure, though? I mean, it could be creative with him, too, though.
But he's an executive vice president. He is creative.
Well,
that's
part of the reason why he can be undisciplined sometimes, because he does have some pull backstage. And you could say that for the Bucks too, that they're able to get away with some of the things they get away with, because it's true that Tony Khan could put a stop to that, but he's trying to be the alternative to Vince McMahon. If he starts being Vince McMahon, then we're going to end up with some of the same old problems with AEW that we do with WWE. So I think he's trying to avoid that by not fully depressing the brake pedal here. And he's kind of letting things slide a little bit. And if it doesn't work on TV, then he'll take it down. But if it works for whoever it works for, then he lets it go. And granted, that approach has its risks, and we've seen some things on AEW television that didn't work because of it, but he's trying to be the alternative.
He tried the alternative, and this for me, I'm on the outside looking at it. I'm just saying, I don't know the business part of it, though, but I know, like I said, he's executive. He has a lot more creative control over his character than most would, but you know, how big of a finger does, like Turner Broadcast have in it, though? Like, you know, they're putting a lot of money to broadcast this stuff. I mean, are they in it? Like, hey, we want, like, this is what we want.
Well, that's possible, too. I mean,
I don't see that. Is this a question I have? Because I don't know. They did it with WCW, though.
I get it, but WCW was doing some wild stuff. So I see them saying, look, you get a little, especially back then in those days. Oh, look, you know, we got to watch our image, you know, blah, 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 blah. We can't have this, you know, going too wild, blah, 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 blah. Tone it down. Because they think about it. Everything TBS stepped in was to tone it down. It wasn't to ramp it up. When you talk about the Kenny Omega situation, that's dealing with ramping something up. They wouldn't be in there trying to figure that out. You know, they would suggest, like, hey, you know, you're doing okay, but we might like this person. You know, can we see this person? Maybe he might, we think by our demographics that he could change this, this, and this because he appeals to this, this, and this audience. So something like that I could see, but as far as what we're talking about here, no. The attorney ain't going to get into it unless they get too wild. And then, you know, they get so many FCC complaints, it's about to be a fine. That's when they step in and say, hey, you're going too far. Need to cut that part out.
Okay.
And they lose the money.
I'm outside looking in kind of like throwing that option out there, though. Cause only because, like, what we've seen out of Kenny Omega in New Japan is different than what we've seen in AEW. Just like what we've seen from the Young Bucks in the past is different. And even though Chris Jericho have, like, 50 million characters that he could play, we don't receive that character from over there, over here in AEW as well, the Painmaker. So I wasn't sure, like, it was more like a networking agreement or, like, just kind of how they stayed going or what, or if it's just their choice.
I just think it's their choice. I don't see it being the network involved in none of that. It's their choice.
There's always a chance that they can that they can pull out those cards out from behind their back when they need to. I mean, when Kenny is coming back eventually, you know, he's there's rumors of him coming back tonight. So there's always the chance that they can revert to to Kenny's old style anytime they want to, and when he comes back from injury, it might be a different story. So, you know, that is the one great thing about All Elite Wrestling. It's a young company, and they listen to their fan base, and they can always turn things around for that fan base. So,
true.
Yeah.
Okay. So, by courtesy of Tony Wotan Allen, we got a special guest coming in. let me go ahead and get him into the line. Give me a second.
Hello?
There we go. FTW Future Focus. Who is this?
I'm first time caller. This is Chris the Gadget Guy.
Uh-oh, Chris the Gadget Guy. What's up? You're over on the South Side, ain't you?
Yeah, I'm over here at South Side Flea Market, 3825 Southeast Street.
Oh, for sure. All right. We're talking about right now, we're talking about AEW and a lot of topsy-turvy. Well, I call it topsy-turvy. It's not so much topsy-turvy. But we're also talking about – we're really talking about Kenny Omega right now. We're figuring out, you know, I'm not too particularly pleased with his character. They were saying they thought the broadcast network might have been involved in him acting the way he is. I'm like, no. What do you think of the Kenny?
Well, honestly, you know, especially him coming over from, like, New Japan, they just do things differently over there. I don't think he's ever adapted to an American audience, to be honest with you. And he's got Dave Meltzer calling him Mr. Six-Star Match. I still haven't seen. His best match I ever saw him was with Okada. I'm waiting to see, like, maybe Kenny Omega versus a CM Punk or even Bryan Danielson and see what these guys could really do. But all that prancing around and showboating and acting like a little artist, it's just too much for me. I like guys that just get in there and wrestle. I really don't know what kind of character the guy has, to be honest with you.
Now, let me go ahead and inform you. Kenny,
yes, sir.
Didn't we just say Kenny Omega and them did have a match? It was 30-minute Broadway.
Yeah, I thought Danielson. I thought Danielson fought Page to a 30-minute and an hour match. I thought Kenny Omega when he lost the title. That was his last match when he lost the title to Page, right?
Yeah, that was his last match for a while. Before he left for injury, that when he dropped the belt to Page. Yeah.
Right.
So he didn't wrestle Danielson yet.
Omega did wrestle Danielson.
Before Page fought for the title. Danielson and Kenny Omega fought to a draw, right? It was a time limit draw.
Right.
Okay, I remember that.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, that was his best match.
He had the two draws. He had a draw against Kenny Omega. He had a draw against
That was his best match that I saw was against Danielson, where it seemed like his shenanigans were cut down, where they were actually wrestling each other. The only other time I seen him wrestle like that was when he went up against Pac, and Pac actually beat him in that match. That was when AEW's first year. But it just seems like when he got that belt, his shenanigans went up. Like it's something that belt turned all that funny stuff he was, you know. Him and the Young Bucks, I don't think they take this seriously. I really don't. I think they're in a position where they're like, whatever we say goes, and they're not taking wrestling seriously like they used to. That's my perspective on it.
I think what's happening is that you mentioned when Kenny had the belt, he turned the theatrical volume up and the work rate volume down, and that is a good point. Because and whether that had to do with the injuries or whether that had to do with him trying to be that annoying heel persona, because I think during that run they were trying to make Kenny annoying. And they succeeded a little bit too much to the point where it hurt him a little bit. And I see where that's coming from. It's just that when Omega is in there with an opponent that makes him do his serious stuff and makes him work it right, then he is a phenomenal talent. But when he gets in there with someone who lets him screw around, it's not so good. But the match that he had in Impact with Rich Swann, the title for title match, a lot of people thought that was really sloppy, but there were moments even in that match where Omega shined because he could keep up with Swann. And it just that you got to get Kenny in there with somebody who like makes that has to bring out his intensity, I think is the deal.
Well, you know what though too? So when you see these guys as heels, you realize which guys should be heels and which guys should be baby faces. He's never been a great promo. So I don't mind him if he has a manager, but Kenny Omega would make the perfect babyface, and you have him chase the title. You know, when like Moxley was the champ, I would have had Moxley as the heel with Omega chasing. They missed the boat they waited too long to have their match. That bothered me a little bit about that, because now that when they finally had their match, look at the roster now. Now they have one of the fullest rosters I've ever seen. Kenny Omega versus Keith Lee. Kenny Omega versus CM Punk. I mean, name the guys that we want to see this guy fight. The list goes on and on. But without all the theatrics, you know, can we get a serious Kenny Omega that's like, I want to get my title back, and this is how I'm going to do it. I'm going to out-wrestle you guys.
Oh, if he gets in there, when he gets in there with Punk, eventually, that's going to be a lot of fun because Punk is really going to ground him. I mean,
that's
look at the work that he's done with MJF. I mean,
yes.
that feud is what
MJF
I'm living for right now.
Yes.
Let me say this. When it comes into what you guys are saying about Omega, I got what they say about Big E still in my head. I'm trying to get it out of there to give him a chance, like y'all saying. And for me, he's definitely got to come back like the cleaner. Maybe this time is where everybody is supposed to forget all the goofy stuff he did, so he can come back this way. He is taking an extended time off, so I think they are trying to wash that idea out of people's heads, but it is so bad till it stayed in there. It's like that wine that you drunk, that red wine, and you spilt it on a white suit. It's still there. You know,
Let me throw this at you, though. With Kenny Omega being one of the founding fathers of AEW, I could see him coming back and doing a best in the world, like when Punk did it, Jericho did it. If he comes back, I'm the best in the world. We know Daniel Bryan is the best in the world. It's obvious. That's what the best in the world looks like, wrestling, promo, total package. If Kenny Omega came back for the claim as I am the best in the world, we could have a range of matches with three or four guys that take us through the rest of the year. And he can either prove it or he can sit down.
No, if he comes out saying even though right now Bryan Danielson is the best in the world right now, though, but if he comes out there and says that he is the best in the world, you spend nothing
on
CM Punk
first. And look, Bryan Danielson is doing heelish tactics right now, so you can see – Kenny Omega would be the perfect babyface right now. He can come back, lose about three matches in a row. He ain't still got it. And then all of a sudden, he wants to reprove himself. He starts wrestling harder. The guy's innovative. The guy's creative. In the ring, I mean, he can hang with anybody we name right now. But he's playing. He looks like a WWE wrestler in AEW, but like how WWE is now with the clowns in the show. You know, does that make sense? Like that sports entertainment? I think he's doing that where you're going, that's kind of Miz-ish or, you know, Morrison or something like that. This guy over in Japan, he was a legend. I'm telling you that right now. Everybody he's fought, this guy put on some of the best matches I've ever seen, and he has yet to replicate it to the degree he did it for all those years, these last 2 years. I think he's dropped the ball.
He didn't want to drop the ball. He slammed it into the ground like he got a touchdown. That's what I think.
Well, it looks like they purposely, because they founded AEW, they purposely didn't want to have the belts. And then they decide one day, you know what, we're the executive producers here. I think I'll be the champion this week. And they go out and win all the belts. And it didn't do nothing. They didn't put anybody over.
That's the point I was about to try to make. Young Bucks, and that's why I don't like the Young Bucks. I despise them right now, is because they have the power to go ahead and make stars look good. And they are on the old – this reminds me of the old clique with Kevin Nash and Scott Hall, to where nobody's getting over and everybody's just there to serve them to make them look good. But I want that money. Yo, this is I can't stand the Young Bucks. They've abused their power. They should have been stripped a long time ago. Because FTR came in there, FTR should right now be the tag team champion.
Is FTR not your tag team champions at least two or three times? They fought the Young Bucks one time. I don't think they've ever fought again. And, you know, that goes with Kenny Omega. Yeah.
Because they run it.
With Kenny Omega.
You know what that is.
Are they all trying to relive their Bullet Club days? Is that what it really is? Because it seems like, White shows up, this guy shows up.
It reminds me of old Bullet Club, though.
And I know it doesn't, but it seems like they're doing the click moves. Like, I think Kenny Omega needs to separate himself. Some of these stars, like Kofi Kingston, really got to shine when they separated him from the New Day. You knew they would bring him back.
They have chemistry.
But Kofi Kingston was shining when he was by himself. It wasn't all that shenanigans and throwing pancakes. Come on now.
Wait. Hold on. They was over with the pancakes. They was over with that. All right. That's what got them. That's what got them noticed. But when they, when you talk about they separated, but hold on. See, I said that earlier, didn't I? Before he came out about people not liking Big E with a champion. My thing is this, and we've talked about this on past episodes. Vince McMahon gave them that gimmick so they could fail and they could legitimately get fired. But they are so good till you can't just fire them. It's like what it's just like when the Fire Funhouse dude got fired.
Bray Wyatt.
That makes no sense. Yeah, that makes no sense. What the heck is y'all doing? You know, that's what the New Day did to them. And guess what? They surpassed that gimmick and made it cool.
Right.
And made everybody buy their shirts. And made everybody buy booty-os for some darn unknown reason. You know, so they had no the WWE really didn't want to promote them. They had no choice. They
whatsoever. Every time they wanted them to win a singles title, they would separate them. They practically separate them when they wanted Woods to be the King of the Ring. They separated them when Big E's fighting Bobby Lashley. You know, it's like, I'm telling you, something about separating, if they get Kenny Omega away from All Elite, basically their whole little clique, and he comes back, I would have him on a losing streak. I'd have him thinking he can't do it no more and have Bryan Danielson telling him he was never good enough and start that feud. And I'm telling you right now.
Like I was saying, the good thing about AEW is that they're a new company, and what we're talking about right now on the AEW side is experimentation, lot of the things that didn't work with the Elite heel run, you know, they can self-correct within that system because there's more than one person's feelings in consideration and more than one point of view being expressed in the product. On the WWE side, that's all one person's perspective, and that's why things like New Day, which wasn't supposed to get over, actually got over. But I see Bobby's point about how he can't take Big E seriously because of some of the shenanigans that he had to do. But there's a way that can be repaired too, because Big E is just that good. He's one of the best big men in the business, and he can, given the right set of circumstances, he could recover and get over. And Kenny Omega is perfectly capable of that too.
Well, yeah, he's one of the five best wrestlers in the world. I think he's capable.
I think Kenny Omega definitely overcome it, though. Just like how he comes back, though, but I think he can definitely overcome it, though. He's put up a couple of great matches against some of these young superstars and everything. You have to get all the crap in the past.
It's part of the problem, though, that Tony Khan is too buddy-buddy with some of these guys, too. Like, his booking is very questionable. I thought there was a whole booking committee and writers, and they was like, no, Tony Khan books the whole show. And I can't believe one guy's booking all those different shows. I find it hard to believe, but if he is, he might be part of the problem, too. You get a Paulie Dangerously in or a Jim Cornette in there, and you get back to the storytelling. You get these runs where it's not, we met in the middle of the ring, got in an argument, we fought at the next pay-per-view. Tell a story again. Kenny Omega needs to be a storyteller to get over completely with like a fan like myself. I like storytellers. I like a Bryan Danielson.
I would love to see AEW get one consistent booker. I've said that from the beginning. There's too much chaos within the promotion, and they need to have they need to have one person have the book, and that person should not be Tony Khan or one of the EVPs.
There you go.
The guy that I would elect to give the book to in AEW would be somebody like Diamond Dallas Page or Jake Roberts or somebody of that caliber to give the entire booking power of AEW to and give them a year and see if they can, like, organize everything in that manner. I would love to see what Jake Roberts would do with the
Hold on, wait a second. You said something that is near and dear to my heart about booking and running a show. Let me tell you from experience, okay?
Okay.
You can. One person can do all that.
Okay.
But you have to have a body of people around you that you can trust to execute what you want. That means that they have to have a very high pro wrestling IQ. Perfect example, which I'm not going to let too much out, but Sam Knight, one of the guys that's my champion on my show. Sam Knight is a genius. He knows what we're doing and what he wants, what we want to do. You know what I'm saying? So I can trust him. Because I know he's got that IQ. That's the problem. A lot of the guys that are not former WWE guys,
right.
And I'm not saying all, because there's a lot of independent guys that have that IQ, but there's a lot of guys out there that don't have that IQ. They depend on cool moves instead of what you're talking about, stories. If I find me a group of people that can do stories.
But here's the thing, though. AEW has the IQ to do that, though. I mean, one of the names is Jake the Snake Roberts, but you also have Tony Blanchard and Arn Anderson already on your payroll.
And I'll throw another name out.
Hold on. What I'm saying is Tony Khan can do this himself. He doesn't need Arn Anderson. He doesn't need blah, blah, blah. He has a story he wants to tell, and he knows what's in his heart. Nobody else can tell that story, but what's in Tony Khan's heart? So,
well, I mean, but that's
he's got to have people to get what he's saying and execute that.
Okay. That's like, to me, it looks like if any of us, a fan comes in, and maybe he's smarter than me. He probably is because he's a billionaire. But, you know, we always fantasy book in our heads and stuff like that. But I like what NXT was doing before they destroyed it. When they had Regal, Triple H, and Shawn Michaels running NXT, that was one of my favorite shows. You know, they literally. And who's the guy that was doing Ring of Honor, the booker out there? Because didn't they acquired Ring of Honor? So are they going to have their booker on the staff?
No, their booker. Everybody from Ring of Honor is literally gone. Their contracts are done. He's going to re-sign.
Wow.
Yeah, he's building it from the ground up now.
Well, I'm getting ready to head out, guys. I want to say this show is fantastic. I will be listening on a regular basis. I love talking wrestling. I've been a fan my whole life. But I wanted to say thanks for letting me call in, guys. I really appreciate it.
It's all good, brother. We will have you on anytime, man.
Hey, brother, you guys are speaking that gospel. As long as we love wrestling, right?
Right on.
Our door is not forbidden. You may walk through anytime you like.
All right.
I'll have a lot of times I go up to his market. Me and him will sit up there for like an hour or two just talking wrestling on a Sunday before.
Hey.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Let me clear something up. There is no forbidden door for him, but there is a forbidden door for some people.
Oh, well, okay, I stand corrected.
Well, hey, guys, I really appreciate you guys, and hopefully I'll be calling in again, so I appreciate it.
Yes, sir.
Oh, definitely.
I got to get to the south side to holler at you. Have a good one.
All right, man, I'll see you guys. Thanks, guys.
That was Chris, y'all. He's got a lot of knowledge. I like that a lot.
I'm not even BSing. Like me and Tina, the first time we went in there, I don't know how we got on the subject of wrestling, because I mean, he got a little shopping there. He's a hustler. Like whatever you want, he got, or he ain't got it, he'll get. And somehow we got on topic of wrestling. I swear to God. When I said we were in there talking forever, we were talking forever. Like, Tina left me. She went and, like, checked out the rest of the place. There's some more stop. I come back, and we still are there talking wrestling.
Wow.
I mean, and we're talking old school, current. I mean, he wants it all. I mean, just like, man, we had a good time.
That is awesome. All right, let's get to this card here.
Revolution.
Tonight, Revolution. So, the first match, Hook versus QT Marshall. Rob, kick it off. What do you think?
I think that match is going to be hilarious. It's probably going to be maybe 2-3 minutes long. QT is going to feed Hook like a fish, and he's going to wriggle around and get choked out, and it's going to be hilarious. I love what they're doing with Hook. The way that they're bringing him up, eventually they're going to have to put him in there with somebody that he's going to lose to, which, you know, that's going to have to happen eventually. But the Hook has got all the tools, and I understand why he's getting over the way he is. QT Marshall is just going to feed him and feed him right tonight, and that's going to be hilarious.
Well, okay, so your pick is Hook?
Oh, definitely, yes.
Okay, Tony, what you think?
I 100% agree with him. I mean, this is definitely a good opponent for Hook to help get him over even more. But, yeah, I mean, they've seen the QT to Hook, and Hook is going to shine in this one. I mean, I can't even, like, say I disagree with the time. Like, 2-3 minutes, I mean, it is going to be what it is. It's going to be Hook going over. I mean, they're definitely booking him the right way. They're putting him in with the right opponents. They're bringing him up the way they need to at this point, though. So, but, yeah, definitely Hook's going to shine on this one. Hook's going to come out with the win.
Yeah, I got to agree, Tony. Hook is definitely going to take this one, which actually, once you think about it, think about the other superstars who are starting for AEW. They lost. What makes Hook so special?
I don't know what. The crazy part about it is, the kid got over quick, too. Like,
yeah.
Everybody just gravitated him quickly, though. He's got the it factor.
Yeah.
That's it.
He's got,
yeah,
he looks like one of those.
Him.
Yeah. But guess what's funny?
Yeah, I mean, I get, but
guess what's funny about him, though?
Mm-hmm.
He looks like an actual anime character.
The only thing that I don't like about Hook is that hair.
that's what I'm saying.
I don't get that hairstyle, though. What the hell
is
he doing?
That's anime. That is anime. That is total anime. Think about
all the dudes
on there that be fighting that got them hairstyles.
I know that.
I just
caught
on to that.
This is real.
I didn't know that.
That hair only works in animation, though. You have to be an animated character to pull off that hairstyle.
Hold on. They got
enough
hairspray on this earth. Have you seen beehives in the 50s?
Yes, and those don't work either.
Hey, they put enough hairspray in them bad boys for it to stack up. Hey, if the beehive can work, none of them have his anime. I'm going with Hook. Hook's going to win this
one. Exactly. 99.9% of Hook I like. It's just that hair's got to go for me, but otherwise he's great. Yeah.
All right, next match. Layla Hirsch versus Chris Statlander. Tony, go ahead.
I'm sorry. I was waiting on Tony. I'm saying that Layla Hirsch plays she's getting the heel shtick down, and I believe her as a Napoleon complex, I'm saying that she probably takes this one just because the feud with Statlander will go away if she loses tonight. So I'm saying Layla Hirsch takes that.
Tony,
actually,
what
I'm
do you
going
think?
Chris Statlander on this. I'm going Chris Statlander on this one. I just think, and I think it's for like just because I like her and I just felt that she had a lot of momentum before she got injured, and I think that like a win tonight to really try to get her back in that picture and try to get her back to what she was at before her injury, and I think it's gonna be a really good match though. But I guess Statlander is taking this one and everything, getting back on track.
In my heart, I want Chris Statlander to win because if anybody else looked at my Facebook page and they've seen a picture, she did one of my favorite submission moves that I've seen in wrestling. I don't know how she did it, but I learned to love how to do it. But I don't know. They just clumped up Hirsch. And Statlander is getting treated so wrong. I think they should make her
she
way
is.
Bigger than what she is, but Layla Hirsch.
She is, and that's why I'm thinking I'm hoping this is a turning point for her, but I'm hoping this is it.
Next last match on the pre-show. Which I'm surprised this is pre-show. Especially with some of the matches that's on a regular card. How do they have this on a okay. House of Black versus Death Triangle. That's in a pre-show.
That's crazy. And especially, I mean, and you guys saw like how they built this up over the last couple of episodes between Rampage and Dynamite, especially on Rampage and everything. And like, yeah, it is crazy that this is on a pre-show. Because this is something I'm legit looking forward to seeing.
I think it might be on the pre-show because we're getting the alternative Death Triangle. Rey Fénix is not back yet, and they're substituting Eric Redbeard in there, and I think that's why it's on the pre-show. But regardless of that, I think House of Black is probably going to take this, basically in order to keep that stable up and running. And I think that since Death Triangle is incomplete, they could probably absorb the loss, and Eric Redbeard can like go on to reorganize Dark Order, and maybe finally get that done, so that stable gets its cojones back. But yeah, I'm saying House of Black takes this and that they move them on to something else after.
Tony, what do you think?
I'm actually thinking Death Triangle on this. Similar reason though, I mean, like with them being incomplete, I think that like for them to hold things down and for them to stay relevant and for them to like stay as a threat with Rey Fénix out, I think they need the W here. And I absolutely love Pentagon now. Like, this is Lucha Underground Penta, and that's one of my favorite. He was one of my favorites in Lucha Underground. And I love that he's got that dark on again. So I'm really hoping, really, really hoping that they get the win and they keep that momentum going.
I have to say I'm torn on this one because I love both teams. I mean, this is going to be an awesome match. I am honestly surprised that it is not on the main card. Even if Redbeard is in there, I mean, this is Redbeard's debut. He was part of Brody Lee. I would have think they would have pumped that even more and make sure that was on the main card because of those reasons and because it's a debut. And honestly, I don't even know why they announced it already. I would have just had this as a surprise on the pay-per-view.
You announced it beforehand, but you announced it on Rampage. It's like, I mean, no disrespect to Rampage, though, but that's not really like your debut show.
Well,
right.
This pay-per-view may have a whole lot of surprises coming, so they may not have wanted to, they may have already announced this so as not to overload with the surprises tonight, because who knows what's going to happen. There's a whole lot of different things that could randomly pop up tonight. The ROH thing, the Cody thing, the Kenny coming back thing. Just anybody could debut tonight. So I guess they just kind of they had to pick one to not do on the pay-per-view, and I guess Redbeard got the short end on that exchange.
True, true. But my pick is going to be House of Black. I just think they're going to continue to pump up the House of Black. I would think they're going to continue to pump up the House of Black. Go ahead, Tony.
No, I was going to say, though, like, if it does go like that, where we do have some big surprises and some big things coming up, it does make more sense, though. Like, it'd be good for him to be in a surprise here, though, but if they have bigger ones coming up, it could overshadow him, though. So hopefully you're right on that one.
Yeah, like I was saying, I was going to pick the House of Black. I just think they're going to try to keep that together because I think Trios titles is going to be on the line at the next major pay-per-view. So I think they're trying to get the Trios thing going and get that started. And I'm actually thinking that the House of Black might be the ones to get that Trios title when they do introduce it. Okay, so AEW Revolution main pay-per-view. AHFO, which comes to Andrade El Idolo. I don't know how
Idolo.
In the heck you say his name. Idolo?
Andrade
okay.
El Idolo.
Okay, I must be an idiot. Okay, Matt Hardy and Isaiah Cassidy versus Darby Allin, Sting, and Sammy Guevara. Six-man tornado match. My pick is going to be Darby Allin, Sting, and Sammy Guevara. I think the faces go over. They're going to sit up there and cheer and jump up and down. Girls are going to take their bras off and throw them into the ring. And, yeah, it's going to be one of those. Yeah.
I'm going to counter program on this one, Bobby. I'm going with the Andrade Hardy home office on this one. Because I think what's going to happen is that Darby is going. They teased it on Rampage. I think that Darby is going to have some kind of falling out with Sammy, and that they're going to turn on each other, and it's going to cost them the match. I think that Andrade and Hardy home office are going over here.
Tony.
Interesting. I kind of like that take, but I just don't see that happening. I could see them having some inner conflict during the match, but I think despite it all, though, I see the faces going over on this one as well, too, though.
So you're going Darby,
I'm going yeah, Sammy Guevara.
All right. Next match. Y'all go first on this one. Rob, go first. Tony, go first on this one. John Moxley versus Bryan Danielson.
On this, I'm expecting it. It's Bryan Danielson. So, I mean, as I'm saying, I expect them to tear the house out. I don't see why they won't, because Bryan Danielson's in this match. I mean, any match that he's in, they're going to tear the house down. I got Bryan Danielson winning this match right here. For two reasons. Number one, he's the best wrestler in this match. Like no disrespect to Moxley, but Danielson is going to out wrestle him without a doubt. But I think with Danielson winning this match is going to kind of add a little intrigue to like them joining forces though, because it's like Moxley's kind of intrigued with the idea of them coming together and introducing violence to the younger generation. But hey, we got to bump heads first. Hey, Wednesday night, we bumped heads and I beat your head. So what's up now? Let's do this. So I got Bryan Danielson here.
That's my assessment as well. I think Bryan Danielson is going to go over here. It's going to be a mix of styles. Because Danielson is going to try to wrestle, Moxley is going to try to brawl, and they're going to mix and match to prove that they can switch over, and it's going to be a really good match of contrasts, And I think what it and yeah, I'm taking Brian Danielson to go over here, and then Moxley is going to join him out of respect, and we're going to get that tag team, and it's I'm expecting this to be a sweet match. This will not be Daniel Bryan versus Dean Ambrose. This is going to be John Moxley versus Brian Danielson, and there's a big difference. So this match could be the sleeper tonight, but I'm going with I'd say Danielson catches it here.
But see, here's the thing: everything don't have to be like Danielson Malenko, though. Like we can have this type of match to be entertaining, though. Too. So I'm really looking forward to it.
All right, let me say this. I'm going to be the first one to say this, and I'll probably be one of the only few in the country to say this. I am not looking forward to this match. I am not. Because all of what Brian Danielson can do, and all they have had John Moxley do, and I remember Brian Danielson's past in the Indies. This is not going to be. It's going to start off as a wrestling match. It's going to start off with the technical side of Brian. But this is going to bring out the hardcore side of Brian, the deathmatch side of Brian, and the deathmatch side of John Moxley. And I'm sorry, Brian Danielson is one of those wrestlers that I think should never be in a deathmatch, period. End of story. He can be in a hardcore match, but he should never, ever, 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 ever be in a deathmatch. And this is going to really, to me, honestly, devalue the product of Brian Danielson. It's just...
Bobby, I think you're overlooking something. I think you're overlooking something important. There's another match on this card where blood and guts is going to be prominent. And I think that Danielson and Moxley know that. And I think that they're not going to go full deathmatch mode in order to not overshadow it. And they're going to have their own match, and I think it's going to be great, but I think they're not going to go whole hog death match like you're afraid of, because they know what's coming further down the road.
I honestly afraid that's going to happen. I'm feeling strong about that. I'm afraid that's going to happen.
I can't wait for us to talk about this next week.
Yeah, Danielson's going to win. That's why I'm picking a win. But I pray to God that they don't do it. I want to see a wrestling match between John Moxley, but I know Moxley's history, because he's right out of here on the south side of Indianapolis. He was IPW champion for over a year.
Yeah.
You know, that was before he even went to CZW and stuff, but I know stuff he was doing then. And he got wild when he went to CZW, you know.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Moxley is, this is going to turn into that deathmatch match. It's going to. And they're going to appease to the deathmatch audience with this match, because think about it. The last time they've had a chance to do this was in Indianapolis. It was a face-off. And I want to say it was like what was it? I'm trying to remember what year it was. It was like 2000. God. Was it 9 or 11? It was somewhere in there. It was somewhere in the early year. And it never happened because IPW closed down, if I remember, and before they even got the match resigned. That was something like that. But I remember them being in the same gym facing off, and everybody went nuts. Everybody went nuts because they wanted to see that. So I'm just pretty sure that's what's going to happen. Danielson's going to win it, though. I'm just unfortunate that the match is going to turn the way it is. The next match, Jade Cargill versus Tay Conti. I'm going last to this one.
I'm just gonna make my pick real quick, so I kind of want to get Bobby's take on this. Big Hart held easily on this one, no doubt. Jay's gonna win this match.
Mm-hmm. Rob.
Jade Cargill is becoming, she's becoming the figurehead of the women's division. And I don't mean that in a bad way. She's becoming more of the face of the women's division than Britt Baker is. Because she's got that new title, she's got that shine on her because of it. So Jade is going to retain here, but from what I've seen of Ty Conti, I think that they're going to pull off a decent match here. It may not be the best. It's probably not going to be the best match on the card because Cargill is still pretty green in the ring. She's getting better, but she's still really green. So It may turn out to be a pretty decent match. It just depends on whether, Ty Conti and Jade can mesh together in the ring better than Jade has with other people. So we'll see about it. I'm not expecting this to be a disaster at all, Jade is going to retain here.
Okay.
I'm waiting for this.
Why in the hell are we having this match? Why?
Because Ty Conti is
getting a championship match against Jade Cargill? Ty Conti, I don't care what she's doing for Sammy Guevara, and Sammy Guevara is Tony Khan's friend. I don't care what type of trapezes this woman is flying through. She could be flying through hula hoops of nothing but fire and brimstone. I don't care. This should be a 30-second match. Jade Cargill, so get her, grab her by her weave, pick her up, bomb her, sit on her. I don't know if she could do it like Nikita Lyons, but sit on her, pin her, and walk off.
Lord.
Jade Cargill, this should be an insult to Jade Cargill. This should be a pimple that she is busting because she just got through with puberty when it comes to Tay Conti. Tay Conti should not even be in the arena when Jade Cargill is in the ring. Let alone breathing. I'm sorry. Tay Conti is one of the most
Okay, then.
Why does she even exist? Why does she even exist?
She's a Taekwondo special, a jiu-jitsu background thing. She's a striker. Supposed to be your thing.
Who can she strike? There are matches, and then there are twigs. What can a twig, what kind of fire can a twig strike? Nothing.
And take Conti's defense, she's more believable than the former AEW women's champ that little bitty Japanese girl that looked like he's 13 years old.
Oh, yeah. No, I love Riho.
Hold on. Riho can go. Okay.
She looks like a kid in the ring, though. I just can't get over
wait
that.
Wait a minute. But hold on.
Yeah, but
hold on.
She's like
Tony,
she's
Tony,
like
Tony,
like
Tony. Wait a second.
Though.
Let me ask this. Tony, how can you sit there and say what you said about Riho, but don't put her in the same category? She looks like Riho's American sister.
No, my whole thing is, in a company that had Riho as a champion, I can see this match.
No. This should not happen. This should not even...
Here's the thing. You got to keep in mind her job is to be another L for Jay Cargill. Like, Jay Cargill was going to run through the entire women's division at some point until we get to that big payoff match for her. This match is
why
what
does
it
he
is. This is a Goldberg.
Why should she even run through her? This should be a small walk through her. This should be a crawl through her. She should not have to run through her. This should be get in, powerbomb, done, I'm out of here. She has no muscle tone. The girl has no muscle tone whatsoever. If they got into a fight on the street, Tay Conti would be getting whooped up and down the block, and everybody be videotaping and talking about world star. You know I'm telling the truth. You know I'm telling the truth. This should not happen. This is definitely bathroom break. I am going to eat a cheeseburger and come back and watch Jade Cargill's head raise and watch her walk off.
I'm not going to bathroom on Jade, though. I'm sorry. No, I gotta see all of
it. It ain't Jade that I'm going to the bathroom on. I'm confident in Jade. Jade's going to win this.
Am I the only guy here that appreciates the Joshis here?
Yeah, probably.
The Japanese. I love the Japanese girls. I like the Japanese ladies too.
But not the ones that look so small so that she turns sideways, you think it's a piece of paper. No, I don't.
I'm with Bobby on this one. I'm sorry, Robert. You by yourself on that.
That's usually how it happens with me. I get it. I'm usually by myself in some categories. So
Can I say something? There was a Japanese girl that came down. I loved her. She was nuts. She was a thick girl, brutal as hell. She could strike her ass off. She fought another Japanese girl. I guess it was a Japanese rivalry. They brought it and showed it on AEW, and they let it happen on AEW. That girl was brutal. That girl was a beast. I loved her. That's a Japanese woman that should be wrestling because she could hurt somebody. You could tell that. I would believe she would hurt somebody. It'd be a reverse OJ with her, okay?
But no love for
little,
no love for Riho though.
No, no for Riho. No.
I give up. But here's my problem
with this match though. It's like, when this match starts and they're like looking at each other before the bell rings and referee's holding the title up, you look at Jay Cargill and then you look at Tay Conti. It's just like, even whether you're a old school wrestling fan, average wrestler fan, brand new wrestler fan, you're gonna look at this woman in the ring with her and think, what the hell is he doing in the ring with her? And the way this match is going to end, it's going to end with, why was she in the ring with her? Because he's going to get squashed.
You know what it reminds me of, honestly? Madea taking on the skinny girl from Baywatch.
First of all, he tell you, like, you know what reminds me of when Madea comes up.
I'm just saying, that's how lopsided it looks to me. Because I know this paperweight that flew in off the last win from Iowa, came in to face this brick house of a woman that's just chiseled. And I'm sorry, got the attitude of a sister that you just don't mess with in school. I'm sorry. She gave me flashbacks.
Jay Cargill
is giving me flashbacks.
Big versus little matches in wrestling happen all the time, though.
But they don't happen in life. She's not a Rey Mysterio. There's nothing believable in that. That girl shouldn't even be lifting paperclips, let alone trying to lift Jay Cargill. Come on, man. That girl is too small. Way too small, man. That girl needs to get some height and some weight. She needs to eat some Popeye's chicken. That's what she needs to do. Eat some Popeye's, get a couple of biscuits, come on through. You know, but
the David and Goliath thing could work if we have a good lead up to it, though. Ty Conti hasn't had any of those significant wins against a big, larger opponent that make me think that she have a remote chance in this match.
She can have a remote control. She ain't got no chance.
Oh, dear God. Okay.
All right, next matchup.
Next matchup.
But I am looking forward to, like, Jay Carhill sitting on her chest, had Tay Conti hooking her leg, have her leg up there while flexing her arm. That's how this match is going to end.
And it should happen within 30 seconds.
Yeah.
It should not take longer than 30 seconds.
Cargill will power her.
No, I'm
going to
give it 90 seconds. I'm actually giving it 90 seconds.
That's too long.
I'm going to take the upper on this and say that it's going to last like about 5 minutes, give or take.
Oh,
really?
God.
Now I'm going to take the high on that one.
And you know what? I'm not going to doubt Rob on that. It probably will last for 5 minutes. It probably will, because they're going to give Tay Conti look like she's going to have a fighting chance. Bullshit. That chick should not have no chicken. She should have no chance whatsoever. Vince McMahon coming out in AEW, no chance.
No chance in hell, yeah.
Oh, God. Let's go. Next matchup. That
Next
was a
match.
Waste of freaking. Actually, no, it wasn't a waste of time of us talking about it, but it's going to be a waste of time watching it. Next match, Jericho versus Kingston.
Part about us talking out about it is probably more entertaining than the match.
Yeah. Okay, Jericho versus Kingston. Tony.
I am torn on this match as far as, like, who I see winning this match. I'll be honest with you, my pick changed from the past. I think it'll be a good match. I think it's going to be a really, really good match. It could be a brutal match. But I'm leaning at this very second, I'm picking Eddie Kingston. And I think if there's going to be outside interference, that helps Eddie Kingston win this match.
Rob,
this will be the true end. This will be the true end of the inner circle.
Yeah, I've got to agree with that. Eddie Kingston has a lot of good heat on him right now, and since it looks like he's going to end up being the babyface out of this whole thing, and that Jericho is going to go back to heel status again because the inner circle is breaking up, I'd say that we're probably going to see some kind of interference from Santana and Ortiz. It's going to cost Jericho the match, and he's going to go full heel with he and Hager. It may involve Sammy, but I'm not really sure about that. But it's going to break down to the unnamed LAX versus the remnant of the inner circle, and Jericho's going to go heel after this match. It's going to degenerate into a brawl, probably, but I'd say Eddie Kingston takes this.
My picking is nobody wins. I don't think there's a stipulation on this match to where it's no disqualification. I don't think it's nothing like that.
No, it's not.
I think it is disqualification.
It's a straight-up match.
I think both of them is gonna get caught cheating, and both of them is gonna get. I'm gonna call it a double disqualification just to make this feud go and intrigue a little bit longer. I don't see winner in this one.
Oh, you think it's gonna be a schmoz? Okay, that
yeah,
does make right. sense. Yeah.
Yeah. Next matchup is for the Tag Team Championship. Jurassic Express, which is the champions, Jungle Boy and Luchasaurus, taking on Red Dragon, Bobby Fish and Kyle O'Reilly, and taking on the Young Bucks, Matt Jackson and Nick Jackson. Three-way tag team match for the AEW World Tag Team Championships. And Rob, what do you think on this one?
I'm saying we're going to have new champions, and they're going to be O'Reilly and Fish.
You say Red Dragon.
Yeah, I'm saying Red Dragon takes this, and they're going to take it at the expense of the Bucks because they're going to try going back face again.
Tony,
yeah,
what do you say?
That's gonna... Go ahead.
I 100% agree with Rob on this one. The Red Dragon's going to win. They're gonna beat the Young Bucks doing it, or it's going to be at the expense of the Young Bucks. But, yeah, Red Dragon's walking out with the tag team title tonight. The best tag team in this match are walking out with the tag team titles.
You're going to be surprised at my pick. And I'm going to tell you why I pick it this way. It's going to be Jurassic Express. Jurassic Express,
you,
I think, is going
to
walk out.
No, it would surprise me if you were going to say the Young Bucks.
No. The Young Bucks is no. I'm cool on that one. But Jurassic Express is going to walk out with the titles because I don't think they're going to lose. I think they're going to cancel each other out, and they're going to start a rivalry within themselves because of what happened tonight. I think it's going to cancel out. Jurassic Express is going to pull out a victory. They're going to be all pumped up or whatever, and Santana and Ortiz is finally going to get their tag team championship match and beat Jurassic Express for the title. I think that's the order of operations. I think it's too soon for O'Reilly and them to get that championship right now. Young Bucks have had it too many times, and I think some of the AEW fans would shoot everybody in the company if the Young Bucks got titles again. So I'm looking at Jurassic Express to actually become victorious. Do I think they should? No. But I'm thinking that they will, and they'll go on to fight Santana and Ortiz and lose the title.
Okay.
They're gonna pay respect to their AEW original, seems like the pattern. Okay, so next match is the ladder match. The face of the Revolution ladder match. Christian Cage, Wardlow, Ricky Starks, Powerhouse Hobbs, Orange Cassidy, and Keith Lee all in this match. And remember, it's a ladder match for the face of Revolution, which I think that's a future title shot, if I'm not wrong.
I believe so, yes.
Yes.
Okay. Either one of you go first. I'm still thinking on this one.
Okay. Now, this is the face of the Revolution winner goes on to face Paige, right? Is it Paige
or
whoever
wins
Sammy?
That match.
I thought it could be Paige. I thought it was like they just get a title opportunity and like they pick a champion that they want to. I thought it was any title.
Because I was under the impression that it was Sammy, that it was the TNT title they were going to get the shot with.
I
don't know.
And I want to say I heard something about like somebody taking on Sammy. That's why I wasn't sure if it was like any title or a specific title.
I think it's the TNT championship that the winner of the ladder match gets to face.
When you look at the participants, it makes sense too. I can see those guys competing for the TNT title.
Yeah, but if that being the case, the person that it's either going to go one of two ways. Either Wardlow is going to win it so that they can put the belt on him so that he can get crossways with MJF, or they're going to go with Ricky Starks, because the potential of a match between Starks and Guevara is just absolute dynamite, and you can have a dual title match. You can bring the FTW title into that mix too, so it's either going to be Wardlow or it's going to be Ricky.
Johnny, what do you think?
I think it's too soon for Wardlow. If he puts the title on him, I think that can lead to that split happening quicker than they're building up to it. My take personally is Keith Lee. when he first got in his match, I'm like, this, I didn't even know who was going to be in his match. I'm like, he's going to win it. Like, this is going to be Keith Lee's time to shine. This is going to be his time to actually show that the WWE made a mistake in not believing in him. And I think he's the best wrestler in this match. So my pick is Keith Lee.
I'm going to say Keith Lee as well. The reason being is I think they're going to start something with him and Hobbs. And I don't see Hobbs winning a match like this with Keith Lee and so many agile fighters in there. That could be the factor, though, that gets him to go ahead and win it because everybody's so arrogant, they do something dangerous and they hurt themselves and he climbs up and gets it. Or FTW comes out and knocks everybody else out and he goes up and gets it. So I can't – now I'm thinking Hobbs.
It is going to be an interesting ladder match, though, because half the people in it are not known for being high flyers. I mean, Lee and Hobbs in particular are two huge guys, and in a ladder match, you usually don't see huge guys like doing the kind of tricks on the ladder that most of the others are going to be doing, because Starks, Cassidy, and Cage can like bump off the ladders all night long, but Lee and Hobbs and Wardlow are going to be throwing people around. So it's going to be an interesting contrast of styles. So I'm really looking forward to seeing Keith Lee get in there with Powerhouse Hobbs. So yeah.
Let me say this. I think you're underestimating Keith Lee.
Yeah.
I would look him up more in his independent days because I think he has done a few matches that were ladder matches as an independent. And I think that's one of the problems when it came to him in WWE is he was used to doing that stuff. He probably wanted to be included and win some of that stuff because he felt a big man doing this would shock everybody. It will give a lot of shock value if Vince McMahon did not see it.
Don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that Keith Lee can't do a ladder match. Obviously, he can do a ladder match. Keith Lee can do anything that he wants because he's that damn good. What I'm saying is that he's not going to be doing the kind of bumps that Cassidy and Stark are going to be doing. He's going to be more grounded, and he's going to be causing those bumps. And so will Hobbs.
I think, honestly, each one of them is going to have two times that they're going to bump hard off the ladder, and that's the big men. The big men are going to have one on their own that they're going to do, and I can see them getting bumped off once. And that's it. I don't see them doing it a lot. But the other thing that I was going to say was Hobbs. Hobbs comes from an independent too as well, I think. And I think Hobbs have done a lot of matches as well. And that's the shocking part because I would not think – yeah, I would not think Hobbs has. And I remember somebody telling me because I was telling them I was going to watch the pay-per-view tonight. It was like, dude, don't sleep on Hobbs though. And I'm like, why is that? Because it's a ladder match. She was like, no, this dude has done ladder matches in the independents too. So if I've seen Keith Lee do them in the independents, I'm imagining Hobbs doing stuff, you know what I'm saying, in the independents, but more grounded, but up in the air. So I'm really torn in this match. I can honestly see FTW coming out and knocking everybody else out to where it'd be a surprise that Hobbs went. And I'm leaning more towards that now. So Keith Lee can be chasing his chance at a championship. And Hobbs is the heel by proxy. So, yeah, I'm going to go with Hobbs, actually. I am going to go with Hobbs.
Okay.
Okay, next match.
So we all disagree on this one, so that's going to make it interesting.
Yeah. Next match is the AEW Women's Championship. Thunder Rosa taking on the champion of the AEW Women's Division, the poster girl, the girl that'll make you smile and break your teeth, Britt Baker, D-M-D. Mm-hmm. So who we got on that one?
Okay, on this one, me personally, and especially considering Britt owes her, like, after their death match was match of the year, Thunder Rosa run that match, this is her revenge match, the Doctor's winning this one. I'm picking Britt Baker, DMD.
Wow.
Yeah, wow. I'd say the good Doctor is going to retain tonight, not necessarily because of the death match that Rosa won, but because it's just not time yet. Britt Baker right now is probably the hottest thing that the women's division has. She is a great grounded champion. She's a fantastic heel and is starting to become a, well, not necessarily a lovable one, but the kind of heel that you love to hate. So,
yes.
It's not time to take the belt off her yet. If it were going to be anybody, then it should be Thunder Rosa, because she's earned the spot that she's got tonight. But I don't think that it's time yet. So I'm saying Britt keeps the belt.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, I would have to agree with you, Rob. It's, you know, this would be Thunder Rosa's time. But I got to disagree with you guys, because I do believe it is time. Britt Baker doesn't need that belt. She's popular. She's already over. Everybody loves that chick. I think that she's going to honestly flip. She's going to disappear for a little bit. She's going to get hurt in this match. She's going to turn face. And she's going to team with Thunder Rosa. I don't see why you would keep the belt on her, because it's going to go to that point to where it's going to get stale. They need to get the belt off of her. I think Thunder Rosa is the right person and the right time to do it. It keeps it going, so if they ever want to flip back to it, I beat you twice. Now I'm going to beat you twice to get my belt back. I just see too many signs that point to Thunder Rosa actually taking the belt tonight and becoming a new AEW Women's Champion. The next match is the dog collar match. Bow, wow, wow, UPO, UPA. MJF. Hey. MJF taking on CM Punk.
Wow. This match right here is the jewel of the card. It's got the history behind it. The build has been incredible, and if they pull off the kind of bloody-ass mess that I'm expecting from this, and that promo from Punk that was almost like Flair versus Valentine from the 70s, late 70s, early 80s, with Flair covered in blood, given that promo the same way that Punk did, I can't wait to see what they pull out of this, because I just got through calling a dog collar match only a couple of months ago, and I can't wait for just the possibilities here, and it's hard to say who's going over. I would like to say that Punk gets his win back, but it's not going to break my heart if MJF goes over again, just to establish more of that cyst that needs to burst when MJF finally wins the world title. So however it goes, whatever the finish is going to be good. I'm initially going to say Punk on this one, just because I want to see a rubber match. But this is going to be the best match on the card.
All right, Tony.
Man. In my opinion, I completely agree with you, Rob. This is going to be the best match of the night. I'm actually looking forward more to this than the main event. I think this one should be the main event. The way they have built this matchup has been incredible. Like, they have people have questioned some of the booking at AEW, hats off to them with CM Punk and MJF. Because they're doing everything the right way when it comes to these two. I've always been an MJF fan, but I haven't liked how he was booked leading up to this. And I really think MJF should have retired Chris Jericho, in my opinion. That would have, that for him to be able to brag about that would have been phenomenal. I'm going to be watching this match with my CM Punk shirt on because I do have my new CM Punk AEW shirt. And as I'm watching this match with my CM Punk shirt, pulling for CM Punk, MJF needs this win. MJF needs this win. MJF should win this match. You're going to make him one of the biggest heels that you have in your company with a win today. And it's not a matter if this is going to be a blade match. I mean, the build-up to this match is bloody. Like, the blood that we saw on free TV this week, man, I cannot wait to see this match. And I'm not a huge dog-collar match fan. There's been times they tried it in the past that are just like, it's not Piper Valentine. Mm-hmm. It's not going to – this is the first time that I am like – a dog-collar match is like the match I'm absolutely looking forward to. Absolutely looking forward to this. And I'm kind of like, Rob, if CM Punk wins this match, I'm going to mark out. I would be happy as hell if he marks out. But I think the right person to win this match is MJF. This is when you're going to solidify him as your bona fide heel and your future world champion. This is going to be the night.
Now, even though I have to say this, and you're going to wonder, well, how in the heck is he saying that? I actually agree with both of y'all. I think both of you are right to a point. I think everything you said is going to happen. It's going to be bloody. It's going to be awesome. I think I actually got a side with Rob. I think Punk is going to win. But I think what's going to happen is his little goon that he has with him is going to come in, jump Punk. Wardlow is going to be there and look like, what the hell? And that's going to turn MJF and Wardlow. I don't think Punk losing this one, but they're still going to make MJF one of the biggest heels because I think MJF has something else up his sleeve where somebody else is going to come out or some kind of trickery way. They're going to beat down CM Punk and Wardlow. Or Wardlow doesn't even come out. But I see Punk winning, but Punk getting jumped at the end, getting dog walked, no pun intended. And MJF is gonna come out looking like the bigger jerk that he is because he jumped him when he lost. And
yeah, that's quite possible.
I just see that happening because that'll bring more intrigue to tune into Dynamite on Wednesday. I see that as a ratings booster.
Win, lose, or draw, MJF is going to come out of this looking like $1 million, even if he gets – I'm going to go on record here. I will never get tired of watching someone kick MJF's ass. Take my money now. As long as somebody puts their boots to his face, I will pay to see it. And that's the magic of MJF. Everybody he gets in that ring with, you want to see them kick the ever-loving hell out of him. And that man will be a millionaire by the time he's 30 if he isn't already. He will always make money because he has the most punchable face in professional wrestling. So it's amazing. So yeah, take my money, damn it.
Yeah, I just still see it gonna be it's definitely going to be Punk winning, but I just think he's going to get jumped on and
there's going to be plenty of shenanigans no matter who wins. But I'm saying Punk and just because to get his win back to keep the feud going because I want this feud to keep going at least a little while longer.
I mean, keep the feud going. I definitely, I'll be honest with you, I hope I'm wrong. I think MJ's going to win tonight, though, but I hope Punk wins, and I love the idea of, like, okay, they'll have to have a rubber match down the road. Like, maybe, you know, they die out a little bit, and they drag that out to All Out or whatever, or the next pay-per-view. Like, I'm all for it. Them two fighting again for the third time.
Yeah.
I just saw the post in the Key to Lions.
Man.
You ain't right. You ain't right.
I don't want to see her in a dog collar match.
Oh, no.
I
want to
see her in a dog collar. I see her in a dog collar. I'm cool.
Oh.
Yeah, I saw that. I had to tag you on that one.
And the last match, the main event of the night. Oh, God. Hangman Adam Page taking on Adam Cole, baby. Rob, who do you think is going to win this one?
Okay. This match is probably going to surprise everybody because it's... There's a lot of people that are downgrading this, but I think that Cole and Paige are really going to click inside the ring tonight, and I'm saying that Paige is going to retain. Not because Adam Cole doesn't, like, deserve the title, I just think it's too soon, number one. And number two, there's more stuff that has to happen with him and Red Dragon and with the Bucks and if Omega comes back and all of that. I think that Paige needs to be booked as that babyface under siege champion where monster after monster gets thrown at him and somehow he figures out a way to retain. This match has the potential to be Hogan versus Orndorff. Know what I'm saying? Because Adam Cole has the ability to bring out the best in Hangman Page and make him look good as a champion while also making himself look good as a legitimate threat. And that's what Mr. Wonderful did with Hulk Hogan. So remember the big event, main event, at the CNE Stadium, the Hogan versus Orndorff in Toronto, that match. This Page versus Cole match has that sort of potential. And I think that Adam Cole could bring out the real championship material in Hangman Page and put him over even more as a champion. And I think that's what's going to happen tonight, and Page is going to retain, and he's going to move on to his next challenger, whoever that might be.
So, your pick?
My pick is Page.
You pick
Page? Hangman okay. Retains tonight.
And Rob.
You mean Tony.
I mean, sorry, Tony. Duh.
I'm actually...
Oh, God, we got 90 seconds. Go, Tony.
Okay, real quick. My pick is Adam Cole, baby, for a couple of reasons. Number one, Adam Cole is more over than Adam Page. Adam Page, I think of all the AEW champions that you've had, he's had the worst run of all the champions, I think. And it's no part of his. It just hasn't been a good run. I think it's time for the run to end. I mean, maybe he can get another shot down the road, but I don't think it's too soon for Adam Page. I mean, Adam Cole. It's Adam Cole's time. And I think this pay-per-view is going to be the FU to Vince because I see Red Dragon, I see Adam Cole, and I see Keith Lee all leaving this pay-per-view as winners, leading into WrestleMania.
All right, real quick, because I only got less than 60 seconds. I think Adam Cole, yes, I agree. Adam Page's run is over. It's just done for. It does nothing for the company. Adam Cole is going to boost ratings, boost T-shirt sales, and he's going to be a good heel champ. So, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for Revolution. Get it on pay-per-view if you ain't got it. Remember, you're in the United States. Go to the Bleacher Report. Bleacher Report got it on sale. So put it on, get it on, and let's get busy. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm the mastermind, Bob Rogers, with Tony. Excuse me, Tony Motown Allen and Robert Black. We're saying we will definitely see you in the future.
You know it's all about the power!